This morning's scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's on that. If I could get you over to turn over to Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs 18. And Alan gave me the topic here, talk about Christians in media, like I'm some kind of computer guru. I was telling that to Chris. I said I had everybody at the courthouse thought that I was this big computer guy because I made up the ID badges for everybody, and it was because I was able to do it because the guy that did it before me dumbed down the instructions so much it was just short of walk in room, sit down at chair. I mean, that's, I was debating about him. I needed all that stuff, you know. We have to, on these, I just tell the kids and stuff, you know, from my experience with these devices and stuff, these things are really great. But I said, you know, I came from the area, these things are so amazing, but I came from the era of, you know, the phones with the cords. Remember that one? And you had in the kitchen this phone with a cord. I think the phone was only like, the cord was only like 5 feet long. But when you had teenagers in the house, what did you guys do? You were able to yank that thing and stretch it to like 25 feet to get away from the parents, to get down into the basement or something to talk on these things. If you had a phone and you wanted to call like to Marysville, that was long distance, and you made that call, and then your dad's going like, "What? Who's calling Marysville? What's going on here on the bill and stuff on that? This is bad there." Or if you was outside of your home and you needed to make a phone call, you had to use the phone booth. I don't know if there's any phone booths left in the country anymore. You find some skeletons of those things sitting there on that. But that's not all. It's just, you know, it's not as bad as my parents in the Depression. You know, we didn't get anything. You know, when I was a kid, we only had three channels on the TV. You had four, you had six, and you had 10. And if it was a clear, sunny day, you could get 34 on a good time on that stuff. But now, you know, we got these cell phones, we got laptops, we got streaming services, we got a ton of devices. Again, I have no idea how they work or what you do with them, but they're just there and stuff. And these things are just truly remarkable. But if anything, you consider this as a tool. It's a tool. And just like any other tool, there's dangers and it can affect our lives. You get a power tool, like my chainsaw, and I get it out of the box, and I'm reading I'm going to read the owner's manual on this thing. And it's like every other paragraph was warning, you know, use of this could cause serious injury or death. You turn the page, how do you start it? Warning, this could cause serious injury and death. How do you sharpen the chains? It's warning, it could cause serious injury or death. And it's that owner's manual could probably be reduced down to like half the size. Like, okay, I got it. It can hurt you. But we do that. Well, I tell you, this device, it can cause us serious injury or death. There's been a lot of people hurt by what they've used in these things. Not that the thing blew up or something, but what they're looking at, and that led them to doing something or experience something that has actually caused them a serious injury or death there, you know. And I don't know how many times you guys have heard this statement. I wish we didn't have nuclear bombs. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have nuclear bombs and stuff? I wish Which, you know, but I just realized this stuff. There's nothing bad in this world. Nuclear power is not bad, but it's just when men start using things and to abuse it, then it gets bad. You know, we've got the, you know, every year they hand out the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, that guy was the creator of that Peace Prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, was a guy named Alfred Nobel. He made an awful lot of money, then he used his money for these peace prizes. You know what he made his money in?
Dynamite.
He made it with dynamite. And when you think about now, we go like, dynamite? Peace prize, dynamite? I tell you, you know, we always look at it and say, oh, this is a dangerous thing. We shouldn't we have that. I tell you, dynamite is really great when you're trying to make tunnels for trains, if you're trying to get rid of stumps that are in your yard and stuff like that. You know, and dynamite was certainly way safer than nitroglycerin. That's what they used to use. And if you ever see that with a nitroglycerin, that thing could explode if it got too hot. It would explode if you dropped it. If it explode just if you carried it wrong or wasn't. You always see those guys really nervously. Guys got a lot of money just handling that because it would explode so easily. And then here comes Alfred Nobel. He develops this dynamite, and it's way, way more stable, and you could store it easier, you could carry it, it's not going to go off just if you thought about it, and you could do great things. But then, what do people do? They put that dynamite in a box, and they mail it to somebody's house, or they put it in a trash can where there's a bunch of people standing around, or they're putting it on bridges, and all of a sudden, there's all kinds of danger, there's all kinds of destruction, and we start going like, man, I wish we didn't have dynamite. I wish we didn't have this. But that's that kind of thing. Sometimes we wish we didn't have these things, these phones, but because they can use up our time, and they can cut us off from friends. They can make us lose our social skills. You ever been to a restaurant where you see the family sitting there, and the whole family's all on their phones, and nobody's talking and that? They can make us lose our social skills. They can give us bad information that's going to lead to wrong kind of thinking. And worst of all, these things can kind of lead us to dark places that takes us away from God. You know, yeah, sometimes I wish we didn't have these things, but we do. We got them. We got nuclear bombs. We've got dynamite and that. We've got them. So we should strive to use these things wisely. So that's why we're here this morning to talk to us about how we can make these devices serve us instead of us serving these electronic overlords that we've got with us everywhere we go and stuff on that stuff. So we're looking at Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 17 of Proverbs 18. So the question is, how do you get your information here? Proverbs 18, it says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. How do you get your information to make your decisions day by day? You know, do you do it on the phone? We used to have the newspapers. We used to have the TV. Then we went to cable news and stuff. So we never question. It's like, how reliable is the information that we're going to get? Because the guy's sitting there at a table, and he's wearing a suit, and he's talking real serious, and people go like, well, that guy's reliable. You know, the TV gets its well-deserved criticism, but even in newspapers, magazines, these blogs, all of them need to be looked at with a lot of caution here. So in 1918, Senator Hiram Johnson, California, I had to look this up because I got it wrong. He says that he's believed to be the first person to ever say this. He says the first casualty of war is the truth. You know, that's on that. But we all know, like television news, they have a kind of a standard. If it bleeds, it leads. You'll see that in television news here and stuff. Television news, like I've said before, is an entertainment facility for us. You'll get information, but a lot of it is based on we want people to watch us in there. So it takes advantage of our propensity to stare at a crash scene. I had a case one time on 71 here years back, and and this dog had wandered out onto the interstate. And your trouble is with the interstate's limited access, you got fences on both sides, so once the dog got on there, he didn't know how to get off the interstate. He's just wandering around, and he got hit by this car. So they call me, and they go, "Hey, Mick, mile post 136, there's a dog got hit by a car." And so I drive up there, and a couple people stopped. This is on the northbound side of the interstate. They stopped, and they want to help this dog out. So one of the people had this white blanket. And, you know, they want the dog to go into shock, so they put the blanket over the dog. What do you think the southbound people saw? They're coming down there at 65, 70, and they see on the berm, Gary, these two cars and a body with a white blanket over it, and all of a sudden they're slowing down, and I mean, I'm going, "We got to look at this. We don't see that very often," and they're slowed down to like 10. And I got up there, it was like a 2-mile backup on the interstate going southbound for this dog. So I just really quickly went, "Let's put the dog in my car. Let's take him over to the Humane Society." Okay, we put him under, and I got out of there. So nobody, because everybody just stopped and they got to look. Well, that's what happens in the network or the news. They'll see what's their number one story? Well, it's a dumpster fire. Or their number one story was this house that caught fire. You see the flames coming out of the window, and they're showing that thing. How does it affect you personally? Nothing. It's an abandoned house, and there it is, but it's on fire, and so there's the guy talking. He's talking in front of the dumpster, and he says, "Unknown how much damage was caused here, because it's in a dumpster, and they threw away stuff, but everybody's watching the flames and everything." We do that also. We want to see this thing. So we're looking at this. Yeah, and also, like in news, they used to have what was called retractions, where they got the story wrong. You know, they always go like, "We want to be first, fast, and accurate." Well, they'll go first and fast, accuracy, and we'll get. But it used to be you would see the retractions, and they would say something. The retraction used to be like, "In our report, in our story yesterday, we reported that the professor was at Ohio State University when, in fact, he was at Ohio University. We're sorry for the information wrong here." Now, for some, you know. They don't. The whole story is wrong. The whole story didn't happen. The whole story is false, and they don't even say anything. So on this thing, so we've got people though that have an unshakable blind trust in everything that the media says, because we grew up with those people like Walter Cronkite and the Huntley Brinkley Report and Tom Brokaw, and that's those guys kind of told you what was going on. Now it's more and more interesting. Just a lot of made up stories and stuff. You know, the authoritative voice used to be before was like somebody that you could trust, like an elder, the preacher, teachers, like politicians and Nazis. Now it's a stranger on a video. It's just some guy at his house. He's got a big fancier microphone, and he's doing these little 15, 20-minute videos. And you look at this, and we've given those people the power to direct our lives. We've got our celebrities, we've got our sports figures, we've got these bloggers, we've got politicians, we've got the spouses of politicians talking and stuff. It's whatever they say. So we're looking at that thing. Where are we getting the authoritative voices in our lives here? And how do you know that they're going to be trustworthy here? You know, so we see that in 1 John 4:1. We've got to test these spirits to see if they're from God. But if we go over to Proverbs, the first chapter, we see, like, you know, what can we trust in? Well, we can trust in the Word of God here. You know, in Proverbs 1, in verses 1 through 4, Proverbs 1, he says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." I'll go to verse 5. It says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." We see this, that looking at these things, we're looking at the world on a TV screen, and they're going to tell us how we should be living our lives, what our values should be, when we need to be going to the Word and getting that and following that stuff. We see there in Psalm, the first Psalm, he talks about this again. It says in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper," and stuff. So we're looking at this. So we're getting using these phones, we're using these computers and the TV to give us our information to tell us how we should be living our lives. When it a lot of times it's just flat out wrong. A lot of times it's stories that has never happened at all here and stuff. So we're looking at I have you know we watch the news, we get upset, and then we're turning to maybe like Philippians 4:6-7. Remember that one? It says, "Don't be anxious for nothing, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus." You know. And so we're looking at. I'm watching this stuff, and I'm getting upset. So I'm going to go with prayer. I'm going to do this thing. So there's another technique that we should be using, and it is called. When every time you hear the news, why don't you just wait 24 to 72 hours to see if this thing really did happen or it is bad? Because this is the way they work this thing. You could probably get all of your news in 5 minutes that you need to go by. But you have an hour-long show. Well, what are they going to do with the other 55 minutes? So they give you the 5 minutes of news, and then they bring in people. Experts, and they're going to give their take on the thing, and a lot of it is speculative. It's just speculating. You'll hear all these words like if and maybe and could be this or something, but it hasn't even happened. There was a filmmaker, Michael Moore, who would do these shows, these movies, and it would just be talking all these outlandish things, and at the end of the show, it turned out to be nothing like that. But he would say, "Oh, I'm not saying this happened. I'm just asking a question." So that's what they're doing. "I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just asking a question. What if this happens?" And the guy said, "Well, if this happens, it's going to be bad." "Ooh, how bad?" "Oh, it's going to be really bad. This is going to happen, and that could happen." And everybody's listening. They missed the part where it says, "This could happen." It didn't say, they missed the part where it says, "It didn't happen." And then we're getting all upset about this kind of thing. We see that with the storms. Remember that we had several times. There's going to be a bad winter storm in 2 weeks, and everybody's getting upset. And then finally that date comes, and you got light flurries that day. And they say, "Well, it tracked north at the very end. Armageddon tracked north and stuff, and went different directions and stuff." So we get nothing. And but you'll notice this pattern. They'll say things, and then they'll stop saying things because the story didn't pan out. They don't come back and say, "Hey, we got it wrong on that story." They just say, "We're just not going to talk about it anymore on that type of stuff." So we look at this thing. I put this down for Gary to read this thing of Genesis, the second chapter. He says, when he talks about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is our tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can do great things. These devices are great. I always talk that day with Josh. I've learned how to lay tile. I've learned how to do stuff because you just listen, watch these shows, how to hang curtains and things and what you do for. But it can be, it can be useful, but it can be a source of evil. You can get into all kinds of things. Pornography was one of the things. You know, pornography, we've created a whole new, our technology have created a whole new set of criminals that we didn't have. You know, you wanted to get into that kind of stuff, before you had to work at it. You wanted to see that, you had to get in your car and go to some place that had it, and then you're going like, "Well, that's danger, somebody might see my car, so I'm going to go to another county to go get that stuff. Or I'm going to write these people, and they're going to send me in the mail, and hopefully they got it all wrapped up so they can't tell. But I hope the mailman doesn't actually drop it and rip it open and something and say, "Ooh, man, look what he's looking at and stuff." So, but now you just click on this thing, and it comes right to this phone, and you're at your house. You never have to leave, and you can get into that. I saw that at the courthouse. There were so many guys in trouble for child pornography. Never would have had that kind of problem, but they just were retired. They're sitting at the computer, just typing away on something, and all of a sudden the stuff starts popping up, which leads them to something else, which leads them to something else. Pretty soon they're doing these really bad things on this. And the trouble is, you know, what kind of what kind of effect does this have on our spirits in here? You know, we see that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, that Paul is saying, like, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not convenient for me in that. Well, I know he's talking about there about, you know, there's things that we could kind of do as Christians. Maybe you don't want to do that because you're going to, you know, like eating meats or something. You don't want to cause problems with the congregation. But I tell you, with this world, this thing with the First Amendment, society says this is legal, which means, you know, you're not going to get a lot of help from society on this thing. We're going to say, hey, wouldn't it be nice, again, to get rid of the pornography? Maybe it'd be nice. But society's going like First Amendment. We're not doing anything about it. So we're stuck with that thing. Society says it's okay. So we think it'd be great to be banned, but it's not going to happen. So what do we got to do? We got to go to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, where Paul says he buffets his body and he puts it under subjection. He fights that thing to cut back on those things and decide, I'm not going to be looking at that stuff. And you got to force yourself to do that because you're not going to get any help from society on this thing. So we got to be buffeting our own bodies. Now let's do a couple of minutes on how we communicate on social media. Now social media is great. This is a great opportunity for us as Christians to talk to people about the Lord. You could, I don't know how many, if you look at how many Facebook friends you have or whatever, you got a lot of people. When you type something in there, there could be a lot of people viewing that thing. I've seen a lot of people use this to really let their light so shine there, Matthew 5:16. And a lot of Christians have done a lot of good spreading the gospel. They post scriptures. They may be posting sermons sometimes or announcing events. I like to do a lot of just the clean, fun posts because there's so much evil out there. You find really funny things. Of course, when you look at the funny things, make sure you watch the whole thing because at the end, some weird stuff starts happening once in a while. And I go, oh, I was almost going to send the sin, but no, I'm not going to do that when the guy said that stuff. But we have to look at this. But there are dangers when you have in this ministry. Okay, so here's the danger. You're scrolling through there, and you see some religious discussion or something, and you make a comment. But then somebody makes a comment about your comment, and it's not very nice. So you make a comment about their comment, about your comment, about that comment. And they make a comment about your comment to their comment about that. Whatever, it starts getting, and all of a sudden, things start getting into this called, I call it the Proverbs 26, verse 20 and 21 situation. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21, it says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. But here's a big one, 21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You got a whole lot of fighting starting to going on. And pretty soon, you're not just making, you know, argument. You start doing those ad hominem attacks and you start to, yeah, and you're getting mad at the person. And the trouble is people are reading what you're saying to these other people. And then they start to go, you know, whatever it is, it says, I just know that these two guys are not Christians, what they're talking about, because they're fighting the way they're fighting and that kind of thing. What are these two people thinking there? So we see that in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Ephesians 4 and verse 29. He just says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. See, this thing is about with this machine is, we'll do things on this machine that we would not ever do in public talking to somebody. If I was talking to that person face to face, I would not be saying these kind of things. But we're at home, we're in our own little bubble, we start typing those things in there, and we're starting to hit those things. Karen helped me with this thing this morning, this stuff, this acronym THINK, before you start typing stuff. Also, if you're saying things too, so think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? We need to be asking ourselves that question before we press that send button. You know, we read what we just got done saying. But you know what we have though now, it's instead of grace to the hearers, we've got so much unwholesome talk, we got ungodly talk, we got unhelpful talk, we've got negative talks, we got disrespectful talk. Yeah, we're not using cuss words, but we're saying things to be mean to this person. You know, that's always a problem with me, is when you get into these discussions, these debates, I would be a terrible debater because I want to win the thing. And I've talked about that where, like on Wednesday nights, where people are using debate techniques and trying to get the person upset so they can try to win this debate here. So with, you know, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7, the latter part of verse 7, it says, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Sometimes there's a time to just shut up. You don't need to be making a comment on here. You know, but I want to win that battle. And it's hard to realize this. You know, in Proverbs 26 and verse 17, it says, he who meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. You know, sometimes we're getting into on this because so many people, the danger is so many people can listen, can watch what we just said. Well, we put it that you can really spread the bad information out there, how things are. But we're getting into fights not about the important things like salvation and that. We're getting in fights about whether Michigan should be charged with something there with Ohio State or something, and we're fighting with people over that. You know, we have to be very careful on that. I realize that with friends and family, it is just not worth it to be getting into that stuff. So like with my family, I shut up about politics and stuff. Like my brother told me, he says, Mick, that's your sister, and she's the only one you got, and you do not break bonds here over something stupid like that. And I can tell you for sure, you're never going to see something, some politician saying, you know, well, I was going to vote this certain way, but I saw this arbitrary post from Mick Szabo saying this way, you know, I'm going to change my way of thinking and doing this. And all of a sudden they're going to call it the Mick Szabo movement, just going to go clear across the country, changing this. It's, no, Josh has got that. No, it ain't going to happen. You have to remember this. And also something here to consider, you're typing on these things, you may not even be talking to a person. They talk about bots or something, or AI. Somebody puts this thing in there and it just makes these comments and it just recognizes what you're saying and makes some other comment. You might be talking to somebody that is called a troll. A troll is somebody that just fishes around through the internet, through the Facebooks or whatever, and then they look at some comment stream and then they'll purposely type something outlandish. You know, And then you start yelling at him about it, and he starts saying stuff. And he's just having a good old time getting me upset or something, to realize that person's, you know, is just there, that's their fun to do and stuff. So if they're insulting us, then we're in a Matthew 5, 38 and 39. If they actually are insulting you, you know, we used to say eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, but Jesus is saying if they smack you on the right cheek, you turn to the left cheek. We're not going to engage in this thing. It's time to let this stuff go. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath there. We're not going to enjoy it. We're going to break off this thing and not get into this thing. Now, if I can get there in in Romans, the 16th chapter, something else to consider here. I said, you do not have to attend every argument that you're invited to. A lot of us fail to do that. There's an argument going on. Well, we're going to jump right into this thing there. We see that in Romans, the 16th chapter here, in verse 17, and he says, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceives the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evils. So what I try to do now when I'm typing it is to use what they call the I statements. The I statements. So instead of typing in, you are wrong on this, it's, hey, I see it this way. What do you guys have? You know, I don't see how it could be this way when there's verses. I see this verse, I see that verse. And I'm not saying anything about this person's position, whether it's right or wrong. Hence, I'm not insulting them. I'm not saying one word about that. So we're looking at that thing. And then eventually, that Romans 16, 17, and 19. Sometimes it's just time to shake the dust off your feet and move on to what you're going to do. Okay, let's see. The final thing to talk about here. Writing can be dangerous. So when you're talking, it's, and there's two parts to communication. One is called the encoding, and the other one is called the decoding. Encoding, and I type something, message, and I send it out. The decoding is you reading what I'm saying, and then you're trying to figure out what exactly I'm saying there. And that just, so there's a problem with the encoding, how I'm sending it out. There could be a problem with the person when they receive this thing. Let me give you an example of this. There was this comedy group, and I can't remember their names, but they had this comedy bit about a man who suffered with a bad speech impediment. And what his speech impediment was, he just sounded like he was being sarcastic every time he talked. So he's talking like with this lady, and she's telling him this long story, and they jump into the conversation, and she says, oh, I'm probably boring you to death with this story. And the man would go, no, I really want to hear what you have to say. Please continue. And the guy says, well, maybe I just won't talk. No, please, I really want to hear it. It's really making my day to hear you say this stuff. And then he goes, okay, I'm just going to leave. He goes, no, come back. I really want to hear what you have to say. And they're all mad at this. You know, so you look at the words that he said, the words he said could be like, you know, I really want to hear what you have to say. Yeah, no, please stay. But the way his voice goes, we're saying like the way his voice is, the inflection said, no, he's really not interested in what you have to say. Well, that's the problem that you have when you're typing something. Somebody picks up that thing and reads it, and I'm saying in what I've said, and they're like, man, what made Mick so mad? Look at the way he's talking. Because they are putting in my voice inflections, and that's not what I meant. So you have to have a really good grasp of the words before you send this kind of stuff. So we're looking at that thing of Colossians, the fourth chapter, Colossians 4. And he says in verse 4, he says, verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So we have to learn on that, how we're communicating, what are we typing and stuff. So, and to realize people can misunderstand what we're typing on these things, and we got to be prepared for that and to look at that stuff. So they're not going to, maybe they're not going to be able to, if you are being sarcastic or something, people may not catch that. And even if you're, you know, so either kind of way, you're going to have to be prepared for that third stuff. So, okay, so in conclusion here, this device is truly the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can do great things with it, but you can do bad things with it. You can do things to fix things. You can do things to tear things apart. We got to be very careful with this. We want to use this to our own benefit the right way and stuff on this. And the device is a tool, and it's only as good or as bad as the person is using it. So I haven't even really talked as much about how it can distract us from living the life that God would have us to live. I think the amount of hours that I spend on this thing, I would be a much better bagpipe player if I had used that for bagpipe practice instead of looking on the phone here and stuff. So use the tool for good. And you want to be thinking all the time, the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. We want to have that in our thinking anytime we're typing this stuff out here. We want to represent Jesus. We want to represent our church correctly here and not be thinking we're all by ourselves. And also, okay, whatever you put on this thing and send it out, it's out there. You're not getting it back anymore. It's copied and sent to everywhere. It's always going to be there. You see that with people bringing stuff up. Somebody had typed in 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Hey, you wrote this one time when you was a little kid. I said, yeah, so it just stays with us. Hopefully, don't get dissuaded not using these things. They do a lot of good. So you just want to be careful when you're using this thing. Okay, so we're offered this time as an opportunity for any of us that need their subject to the invitation, whether you've never been baptized for the remission of sins or whether we're having some trouble and you need some assistance from our congregation. We just ask you to come forward and let us know how we can help you while we'll stand and sing our song of invitation there.